Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's Word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the Word with us.
Well, I thank you for being here. Tonight is the first Wednesday of our new study that we're going to be going on for a little while. We are going to, as we have already done with one of the books of the Bible in the New Covenant, does a lot of talking about the New Covenant, is Hebrews. We are now going to start a study on Romans. And so we're going to be there for a little while. Now, let me preface this with our vision. And it's knowing that this year we're going to teach at Christian Ministries Church how to live daily in the new covenant. The old covenant was easy to understand. Do everything he said and you were blessed, and if you mess up, you're cursed. I mean, really, it's just, that's what the old covenant, you see that a lot. Do this, don't do that. And I want you to know that Paul's letter to the church in Rome here as we start out tonight, we see that Paul teaches about how to live every day under the new covenant. So let me preface all of this with, we are going to do a chapter each Wednesday. However, we are not doing a verse by verse. We've done verse by verse here before. That's not what we're doing. I want to pull out of each chapter the points that reference the new covenant. And that's what I've asked our pastoral staff that we're going to be doing. I want to pull out how to live life under, or let me say, in the new covenant every day. I love the way Hebrews put it. Hebrews said that the new covenant is a new and better covenant. And so we have to learn what that means. So let's just dive in. Romans 1:1. See how far we can get. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus. Now we have to stop right there. The first sentence we can't even get all the way through because we have to understand the letter's from Paul, and he is calling himself a slave. A slave of Jesus. Now, the term slave, really, good preachers can hang out on a word forever. And so I'm not a good one, so I'm going to get through it pretty quick tonight. But a slave totally describes everything about the new covenant. And we as a slave, Paul as a slave, you have to understand something about slaves. Slaves are purchased. So if a slave is purchased and I've been bought because I'm purchased, I've been bought with a price, then who owns me? Who do I belong to? I belong to Jesus. He paid a price for me. And that should change everything for you and I. It's no longer my will be done, it's your will be done. See, as a slave, it's not about my will, it's about my master's will. There's a diving into a God way of living. There's a dying to your way of living. So I'm going to live not thinking about what my wants are, but what God's wants are. That's what a slave does, concerned about his master. And you hear this perverted even in the Christian world a lot. Well, it's my body. I do whatever I want with my body. It's my body. Well, you're not a slave. Because a slave no longer owns their body. And so I just want to think about this. See, if you're not living in the new covenant, then you do whatever you want. But if you're going to live life in the new covenant, you're no longer the one in charge. You belong to Jesus. He's in charge. And you're bought with a price, and you live knowing that. Now, as a slave, and I don't want to take away the atrocities that we all know that has happened as we look at all of that. I'm not advocating slavery, especially the way we've studied it in America. However, listen to this. As a slave, that has chose to live and submit their life to the will of the purchaser. That's a choice that they made. If you do what you're told as a slave, you get the benefits of being obedient. You get the benefits of submitting life to the will of someone other than yourself. Let me read out of Matthew, and I know we're in Romans, but I got to go to Matthew. Matthew 6, verse 25, Jesus addresses this, and how cool it is. After we read this, I'll explain it a little more. Jesus said, that's why I tell you, don't worry about everyday life. See, slaves don't worry about everyday life. They just do what their master told them to do. And then everything's provided for them. See, whether you have enough food to drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store foods in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? It just brings this verse to light that you've heard your whole life. Verse 27, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory wasn't dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he'll certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Don't worry about these things. Saying, what will we eat? What do we drink? What do we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he'll give you everything you need. Worry and stress are not on me. And that needs to be coming out of your mouth. Worry and stress. As long as I'm submitted to the Lord and I live knowing he paid for me, then I know he's going to take care of me. Here several years ago, I had son-in-laws who liked to borrow my tools. And I would find them in places that I wouldn't have put them. I'd see them at times even left outside. I'm like, what? And I finally came to a point of understanding they didn't pay for them, I did. And things that I pay for, I take care of. Just there's a different mindset with that. When you paid for it, you'll be a little more responsible with it. You'll be more careful with it. There was a price paid for you and I. Don't you think that he cares about what happens to you and I? He does. He's not leaving you out in the rain. He owns me. I'm in a financial crisis. I just don't know how to deal with what just happened to me. I'm at my wit's end. I don't even know. I can't even think of another option. I don't have to. He already has. And he'll download it in me. And as his slave, he's the owner. He's not going to put me in a position that he can't see me through. Come on. We get young people. It's good to know that now because you're in a season of life where you're all the time asking yourself, what am I going to do when I get older? Who am I going to marry? And we get people caught up on that and they just can't think of anything else and they're not usable for the kingdom, but they don't understand. Wait. When you gave your heart and life to Jesus, you walked into slavery. We only talk about freedom in the Christian life. Yeah, there's freedom in slavery to Jesus. That's right. Why? Because he's going to take care of us. I don't live worried. I don't live all bent up because I am submitted to my master. He's going to take care of me. He knows who I'm going to marry. He knows who I'm. He's got all of this. And how am I ever going to afford to live in an apartment, let alone a house? I used to think about that all the time. I couldn't believe what homes cost. Now I'm like, whoa. 40 years ago, you could afford it. How are these young people going to afford it today? Don't say that over your kids. Well, I don't know how my kids are ever going to afford anything. Get them submitted to the Lord, and the Lord will take care of that. Well, I don't know how they're going. I just don't know how they're going. How he's going to take? Because I know what Romans says, and I know what the new covenant is, and my child's in the new covenant. And praise God, he has a master who cares about him, and he's not leaving him out in the rain, and he'll have a shelter over his head. Yeah. See, there's got to be a different terminology that we're teaching our young people. Otherwise, they're going to be dependent upon someone other than God. Paul said, I'm a slave chosen by God to do his will. Romans 1, verse 5. I'm going to jump down a little. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them, so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. We, as Gentiles, Paul says, are told about what God has done so that we believe, so that we obey, and so that we bring glory to his name. It's those three things that are mentioned right here. That's just what we do. Our marching orders have been given. What we are to do every day, Paul outlined right here, living in the new covenant, we believe, we obey, and we bring glory to his name. Well, how do we do that? Well, believing is a part of not believing something else that's contrary to the word of God. It's believing what God said. How do you obey? You know the word, so you know what you're supposed to do, and then you bring glory to his name by how you live. And how does that happen? By what other people see in you. Are you bringing glory to his name when you go to work every day? Are you bringing glory to his name when you're getting ready for church on Sunday morning? I know y'all when you get here, because we all put on this facade, but who knows what was happening in the car right before you said, okay, everybody put on a smile. So there, we believe, we obey, and we bring glory to his name. So, verse 10, jumping on. One of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you. Paul says, for I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. I love what Paul says here. That's the life of a Christian. We are to grow strong in the Lord. That's why we're here. Grow strong in the Lord, to grow strong in the Lord. That's why we do all that we do. That's why you're here tonight. You weren't here for a social game tonight. You were here, well, I just came to serve. Yeah, you came to serve, and in serving, you're helping someone else grow strong in the Lord, and hopefully they're helping you. There's a strength that comes as we grow stronger in the Lord. There's a strength that comes because others are growing because of us, and we're growing because of them. Paul himself said, Paul was like, he was the one that was telling everybody, here's what you do, here's how you live, and then he says, hey, by the way, while I'm there, you're going to help me. And I want you to know that's the way we all should be living, is we are wanting to be together so that you can get encouraged and so that you can be an encourager. Right. Both of those things. In the new covenant, we're getting stronger and we're helping others grow stronger. You got to ask yourself, are you growing stronger in the Lord? Now, as you ask yourself that question, there's some things you got to think about. Are you still struggling with areas you were weak in 3 years ago? Is your marriage worse than it was 3 years ago? Because if you're growing stronger in the Lord, then the things of God, which marriage is one of those, ought to be getting stronger. See, in every area, there should be strengthening. Now, I'm not saying there won't be things that come up and you're like, oh, this isn't good. Okay, well, there are hiccups in life. I get that. But know this, peace should be coming stronger into your house.
That's right, yeah.
Strength should be, the things of God should be gaining strength, not losing ground. Yeah. Well, I just feel like I'm in worse shape than I was when I joined the church. Okay, well, you've missed the strengthening. And Romans says in the new covenant, we're to get stronger. Right. We're to get stronger in the Lord. Well, I'm reading my Bible. I used to read it a lot more. And we just get to a place where we're not where we need to be, and we're weaker than we were. And here's what I want you to know. When you're growing, there'll be people that come to you and recognize that. Let me give personal testimony. There was a season that Michelle and I's marriage was not strong. And nobody came and said, man, I just want to experience what you and Michelle experienced in marriage. Nobody wanted that. They didn't want the way I treated her. I wasn't ever home. They didn't even, the ones that didn't even know her. I mean, I worked in places all over the country, and they wondered if I was even married because they never saw her. Now, our lives are in a position where the last several years, our marriage has strengthened to a place that people will come and say, okay, help us here. See, that ought to be happening in every area of life for God's people. There's a strengthening that happens so that you can strengthen others. And if you don't have people that are watching you and going, hey, man, you're just really strong here, then ask yourself, what areas are you needing strengthened in so that you can help others and put some effort in that and get strong there? Have you heard the term life coach? I had never even heard this until it's probably 15 years ago, and a friend of ours had a son that was in his early 20s, and I was older than that then even, and I remember thinking, he's a life coach? What's he coaching about life? And every area that I knew he was coaching in, I was sitting here thinking, I don't want him helping my team out. Could you be a life coach? Do you have areas of your life that you're strong enough in that you could help some? So we've termed some phrases in our society that really God intended to stay in his world. And so we got life coaches all over. It's a big deal, especially in California. Lots of life coaches. You better check the team. Here's the thing that I love. I love that this church ministers to young people. We get up here and we start talking about announcements, and we're talking about this Sunday, you're advancing to your next class. We're talking about Friday night, all the youth are getting together. We're talking about a summer camp. We've got summer camps. We've got retreats. We've got conferences. We've got so many things that we invest in. But I love how much we invest in the young people. I mean, financially, what we put into Honduras, we're feeding 400 to 500 kids a day in Honduras. That's a big deal. We're investing in young people there. We're investing in young people at a school. We're investing in every way we can through the church ministries that we have for young people. We want to make a difference. Why? Because we want them to get strong, because right now there's a bunch of young people that have no strength in the Lord. Well, how are they going to get it when the church isn't feeding into it? So I want to do everything we can. I want teams here. I want everything that we can do that the foundation is the church. We've got a young baseball team that Nathan Head's taken. And I mean, praise God. And then we've got other leaders in the church that are coming, like Ronnie and Chapman, different ones. If I miss somebody, I'm talking about you too. But praise God, we've got some people that care about our young people, and they're just using an avenue of throwing a coach pitch ball or a tee ball. And these kids don't know hardly, I mean, first base is over there. Who's going to tell them that? We are. Why? Because we're going to equip them for life, and we're going to equip them with a life that's godly. And you got to have godly people that are strong in every area to equip them.
That's right.
I love it. That's what we're doing. Not just in Honduras. We're doing it right here in Southwest Missouri. Verse 17, got to go on. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it's through faith that a righteous person has life. Know this, here's how you have life, by faith. That's how you have life. The one who's been made right because of Jesus is able to live a life through faith, and with that faith that you're living in, life is then given. If you're not living by faith, let me give you the opposite. You don't have life. So anytime you're not, I mean, it's just that simple. If you have life through faith, see, it is through faith that righteous person has life, then that means if you don't have faith, what do you not have? You don't have life. I know a lot of people who claim Christianity that are living by anger. They're living by revenge. They're living by church hurt. They're living by, you can just see that on Facebook. Here's what they're living by. They're living by frustrations that have happened to them, defeat. They're living by worry. They're living by fear. And I want to let you know that you've got to come to a place, and I want to be there, where I refuse to let disappointments in my day steal my life. Not going to let that happen. Yeah. It's through faith that a righteous person has life. Well, I know that's not happened for you. That's because I'm living by faith, not by sight. Yeah. Well, you don't even know what just happened. I know I don't, because I'm living by faith. I'm not got my head in the sand. I'm aware of what happens, but I'm not living by what happens. I'm living by faith. Your faith may have been what you were living by, or maybe it wasn't. See, your faith you're living in, sometimes you're having faith in an outcome, and when that outcome doesn't happen, your faith is destroyed. So don't live by faith in an outcome. Live in faith in the one who's going to see you through whatever it is. And when you start putting the times and all the things, then you're living by what you said, not by what he said, and you're no longer a slave. Living life in the new covenant, you daily have to decide what you're going to live in. Or let me say, who you're going to live in. You'll have to make a decision. Romans 8, and I don't want you to jump over there. I just want to tell you that whoever's preaching that one, I'm going to steal a little bit of it right here, because it's probably Chapman. Those who live according to sin, their life leads to death. But living by the Spirit and letting the Spirit control your brain, your thinker, your mind, it leads to a life of peace. And I think so many people think that when they made a choice to get saved, then every day that just happened for them. And what I want you to know is, it's not a choice that was made once, it's made every day. A lot. Every day. See, that choice is made every second sometimes. I mean, I know I was saved. Now I've got to make a choice to live in that salvation. I got to live by faith in the one who's going to see me through. And I want to live that every day, because I don't want to get cut off because sin's running rampant right now. Romans 1:18. God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress. And if you were drawing in your Bible, you would underline suppress. If you're taking notes, you would write suppress real big and circle it. God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Every wicked person knows right from wrong. Well, I just didn't know. That's a lie. You knew. What you did is you suppressed the truth. And people do it all the time. They suppress the truth because they're going to do it their way. And God says, I'm showing my anger here about that. Well, you're painting the wrong picture. I'm reading exactly what Romans 1:18 says. But God shows his anger from heaven against sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Let's keep reading. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. Once again, they lie unto themselves, but he made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have excuses for not knowing God. Sorry, I just misread that. They have no excuse. None. Well, bless their heart, they just don't know. Except for God said they did. They have no excuse for not knowing. There's no excuse. The only thing people are doing is they're suppressing the truth. That's what happens. They suppress it. Before you and I even knew Christ, even before before we ever even came to church or knew about church, you knew that you needed to quit thinking the way you were thinking. You knew the way your mom and dad were treating each other, there was something wrong about that. See, you knew that that's not the life that I should be living. Listen to Michael Chastain's testimony. He knew. He knew just something wrong here. This is not right. This is not the way someone should treat another person. This is not the life that God's called. Verse 21, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, what happened? Their minds became dark and confused. When truth is suppressed, you start thinking up foolish ideas. You start thinking that men playing in women's sports would be a great idea. Yeah. That only happens when you suppress truth. Right. That's just men in women's bathrooms. That's a great idea. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why was that okay? Because somebody suppressed truth. Right. Yeah. And they all know it's a bad idea. Yeah. I'm amazed at how we think it's okay for a child to be raised in a home with two moms. And that's been advocated for a while. And the problem is there ain't a study out there that shows it's a good idea. That's in the world. Let alone what God said about it. The only way that can happen is when the truth is suppressed and their minds become dark and confused. Boy, Romans just kind of said exactly what we see every day. Verse 22, claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. Really? Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And this is what really concerns me. And what they just don't even, they've suppressed the truth so much and they've never read scripture and we don't have God's people telling them. But verse 24 says something that's very profound. It says, God abandoned them. God abandoned them. Well, God wouldn't do that. Think about that. I don't want to be anywhere. I don't want to live anywhere knowing that God has abandoned me. That's not what I want to do. I don't care what I get. I don't want to live knowing that God is going to abandon me. There's just not enough of anything that the world has to offer or that sin or even fun has to offer that I'm okay to get in and then get abandoned by God. I'm not okay with that. Verse 26, that's why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. The men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty, what? They deserved. Contrary to the post that you read on Facebook, God says right here he abandons those. Well, God's just, you've misquoted God. I didn't misquote anything. I just read Romans 1. Yeah. So don't get on social media and defend a lifestyle that God says he abandons people over. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, you got to love them. I'm not talking about not loving them. God never quit loving them. But they chose something to go so far deep and so dark into that they left and God said, I don't know what, I don't understand it, but he said, and I don't want to misquote him, he abandoned them. Verse 28, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, now you're talking about someone who thinks it's foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking, and he let them do things that should never be done. That's why you need to acknowledge God in every area. And when foolish behavior starts, young people, hear me, when someone you're hanging with is operating in something that's just foolish. Well, I can't believe what the church teaches. The church is teaching Romans chapter 1. And what I want you to know is, don't dive in with that foolishness. Don't even go there. You don't want to get to a place where God abandons you to your foolish thinking and lets you do whatever should never have been done, you do. Verse 29. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. Do you see that murder is right in the middle of envy and quarreling? Well, envy and quarreling is not that bad, except for he puts murder right between the two of them. Verse 30, they're backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, heartless, and have no mercy. And then the end of verse 32, And then they say, they encourage others to do it with them. All those things. All right, I'm sitting there and I'm really thinking about this list and I'm going over this list and going over this list in my mind. How much do you teach from each list? Here's what I want you to know. Every one of these things, these are all bad things. And their lives became full of all these bad things. Not just one of them, but it became full of all of them. Became full of every kind, every kind. So all of these things started being how they think. Well, so what we've got to know is what we can learn from that. Well, here's what I can tell you. If all these are bad things, then the opposite of those would be good things. So here's the life of a Christian. We ought to be full of good deeds, righteousness, generous. We ought to love. We ought to find joy in others' successes. We ought to build life into others. We ought to strengthen them. We ought to bring people together, get in agreement based on the Word of God. We ought to be sincere. We ought to be forthright. We ought to be kind in our behavior. We ought to be benevolent. Don't be mean. Don't put down people. Build them up. Support them. Speak well of people. Be loyal. Be trustworthy. Be a lover of God. Be polite. Be respectful to others. Be humble. Be meek. Be gentle. Stay away from every sin. Obey your parents and honor them. Work on understanding. Keep your promises. Get a heart that's full of God. With your renewed heart is how you live, and you live full of mercy. You encourage others to do life this way. Don't leave them down that path. And that's the life that God has called us to live. That's it. That's Romans chapter 1. Y'all stand with me.
Thank you for being a part of our podcast today. You will find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There is a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.